Amen. Howard Rutledge was an American fighter pilot, and he was shot down and captured by the North Vietnamese in 1965. The North Vietnamese threw him into prison in Hanoi, North Vietnam. What was the prison called? Heartbreak Hotel. Howard Rutledge writes, "When the door slammed, a feeling of utter loneliness swept over me. I was locked in a 6x6 cell. It's hard to describe what solitary confinement can do to defeat a person. There are no books, no magazines, no newspapers. The only colors you see are drab gray and dirt brown. You are locked in your filthy cell, trying to keep your sanity." We all know what it feels like to be locked up in a heartbreak hotel. The problem for us, though, is that at first it doesn't look like Heartbreak Hotel. It looked like the promised land. In fact, it even was the promised land, at least for a while. That small little white lie, no big deal. That financial dishonesty, no big deal. That moral indiscretion, no big deal. But sooner or later, though, no big deal becomes a really big deal. What we thought was the promised land becomes the death of a job, or the death of a marriage, or the death of our hope, the death of our joy. Satan slams the door shut and says, "Welcome to Heartbreak Hotel. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave." Today we begin a sermon series on Moses' book called Exodus. The series is called Let My People Go. God sees his people in Israel in the Egyptian Heartbreak Hotel, and he tells Pharaoh 7 times, "Let my people go." I'm sure you remember the story. It was because of a famine in 1847 BC that Jacob and his family, 70 people in all, traveled from the promised land of Canaan to Egypt. That's Exodus 1:1-7. Fast forward 300 years later, and we come to Exodus 1:8. "And then a new king who did not know Joseph came to power in Egypt. And this king," or this Pharaoh, "saw the Israelites were becoming too numerous and too powerful." So what did the Pharaoh do? He created his own version of Heartbreak Hotel. Stage one was to put the people into a state of slavery. Exodus 1:11 says, "So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh." Every single Israelite was required to produce 3,000 bricks a day. 3,000 bricks a day. You think you've got a tough job? Try this. Go and get water from a canal and pour that water into a mud pit and then step on that mud pit and then add some straw to that mud pit and stomp on it again and then let it dry in the sun and presto, you've got a brick. Now do that 3,000 times in a day, every single day, with no time off, ever. Stage two was private infanticide. Exodus 1:15-16 describes it this way. "The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, When you help the Hebrew woman in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill him, but if it's a girl, let him live. You see, God sees these two women, Shifra and Puah, and they obey him rather than Pharaoh. They disobey Pharaoh's commands. And so God puts their names in the Bible. But you know what? Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the most powerful man on the earth, his name isn't in the Bible anywhere. And you know why? Because God does big things with small stuff. In stage three, we see open genocide. Exodus 1:22 describes Pharaoh's decree. Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. It's against this backdrop of Pharaoh's heartbreak hotel that Moses is born. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. This son is Moses. Moses is the couple's third child. There is an old sister whose name is Miriam and an older brother. His name was Aaron. And when she saw that she was that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. What's really interesting is that this word translated as basket is the same word translated as ark, as in Noah's ark in Genesis. And so this is the ark of Exodus, just like Noah's ark in Genesis. It's coated with tar and pitch. And yet you say, oh yeah, Noah's ark was so much bigger. Well, why is that? Because in the book of Exodus, God does big things with small stuff. And so that baby boy is placed in the Nile River. And Miriam, Moses' older sister, runs along the river's edge. She watches as Pharaoh's daughter bathes with her servants in the Nile. And she opened it and saw the baby. And he was crying. And she felt sorry for him. Moses is crying. That changes everything. Because in the book of Exodus, a baby's cry changes everything. Because God does big things with small stuff. When her child grew older, she took him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I brought him out of the water. Moses. Moses is an Egyptian word that means bring out of the water. Finally, someone who will bring the Israelites out of Pharaoh's heartbreak hotel. And Moses will do it through what? Through water. Moses will part the water of the Red Sea with a wooden staff. A wooden staff. Because God does big things with small stuff. And so God sees us in our prison, our self-made heartbreak hotel, and God sees us trying to get out. God sees us putting on our Superman or Superwoman cape, thinking that we are superheroes who can help ourselves. But I've got news for you. You're not a superhero, and neither am I. We can't fight our way out of the prison of sin. We can't think our way out of it. We can't educate our way out of it. We can't back our way out of it, buy our way out of it, vacation our way out of it, blast our way out of it. We are all stuck in sin. Heartbreak Hotel. Yet I've got some really good news for you. Jesus does some really big things with small stuff. Jesus brings us out of our prison of sin and death. And just like the book of Exodus, he does it all with small stuff. He uses the tokens of Christ's passion, a chalice, a torch, a lantern, a sword, a whip, a whipping post, clothing, 30 pieces of silver, dice, spear, hand that struck Jesus, a torch, a pitcher of gall and vinegar. Jesus doesn't recoil or run. He doesn't retreat at the sight of our ugly prison. Jesus comes to us right where we are. To do what? To do really big things, like setting us free with really small stuff. Howard Rutledge has more to say about Heartbreak Hotel. He writes, I prayed for strength to make it through the ongoing night. And then one day, a glimmer of light dawned through the bottom of my prison door, and I knew that God would set me free, and he did. Life gets dark. Sometimes life gets really dark. What we thought was the promised land is really Heartbreak Hotel. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. But there is a glimmer of light dawning. Can you see it? It's Easter light. It's Easter deliverance. And it is here for us right now. How can we be so sure? Because God still does big things, like setting us free with really small stuff. In the name of Jesus, that is God's gift for you. Amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated for the